You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Biblical Worldview Ministry is joining us now for our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. Good morning to you, Nancy.
Good morning to you, Steve and Kelly.
Well, we're glad that you are up and about and around with us this morning. Ever important question that we have when we look at other religions, religious groups around us. We know God's truth of the word, but sometimes we see others who have a different spin on that, and we know it's not truth. So tell us about the Jehovah's Witnesses. The question is, are Jehovah's Witnesses actually a cult? Help us out and help us understand this.
Well, I hope to. It's interesting. This subject about Jehovah's Witnesses came up in a way that probably, or at least some of us, have experienced ourselves. In this case, a student who is a Christian, one of my students, asked why I referred to Jehovah's Witnesses as a cult. And this is what he said. He said, after all, they believe in Jesus. And yes, they believe in Jesus. But is it the Jesus of the scriptures, who is the Son of God, the Savior, who died for the sins of the world? And this is so important. It's just a great question, because it brings to our mind, there are lots of people that identify as Christians, but what do they really believe about Jesus? And just to clarify, Jehovah's Witnesses have been identified as a cult. And a cult is a group of people that embrace counterfeit Christian religion. They all have a leader who claims to be uniquely called by God. Now, not all cults follow all of the characteristics of a cult, and this is important. But following any one of them should be a warning to us to stay away, or at least be extremely cautious. In the group, a cult requires the study of books other than the Bible, and their revealed truths supersede or contradict the Bible. So their own personal group will decide what's true, and that will have more importance than the Word of God. They claim to be the only true church, and clearly do not hold back criticizing all Christian churches. Cults have a tendency to use excessive control by the leaders of the group, and they often claim new revelations from God. And when they have a new revelation, then they change their beliefs. They change the foundations of their faith according to their new revelations. And their doctrine is, frankly, nothing short of a complete lie. That is the definition of a cult through a biblical worldview.
Well, Nancy, I've known people who have been part of the Jehovah's Witnesses. I know there are famous people, celebrities, who have made it, yeah, public that is their belief system, too. What is the history of Jehovah's Witnesses? Where do they come from?
Well, Charles Russell was a leader of the Jehovah's Witnesses group that formed back in 1870. And the group is now about 8.7 million actively involved people across the world. And it's just important, their evidence of who they are needs to be looked at and studied through the eyes of the Christian worldview. And so the question today is really, does their doctrinal position line up with a cult or with the Christian faith? I think, as I tell my students, the one question you need to ask anybody who asks you to join a Bible study or a church or whatever that might be, especially on college campuses, hey, come on, we're having a Bible study. And that's the thing. So many of them just don't tell the truth about this. But the number one thing to ask for my students, and I teach this over and over again, who do you say Jesus is? And if we were to ask that question to a Jehovah's Witness, they would say that we believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, the highest created being. And as we know, this belief contradicts many scriptures which declare Jesus to be God. You know, I think it's so interesting that the Jehovah's Witness Bible, called the New World Translation, translates John 1:1 this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And of course, John 1:1 from the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there again, a little simple A misplaced in this case. And by the way, the God is a small g in the New World Translation. That gives you just a glimpse of what's going on. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and he dwelled among us. You know, that's the beautiful thing of Jesus. He came and he lived with us. People touched him. They hugged him. They ate with him. All of this. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am. And he used the holy name of God there to define who he is. No question, Jesus is God.
Well, then, what is the Jehovah's Witness position on salvation? You know, doctrinally speaking, what's their position on salvation?
Yeah, again, Ephesians 2:8-9, for grace you have been saved through faith, not of your own. It is a gift of God. This is the Christian belief that by faith in Jesus Christ as to who he is, the Son of God, God himself, we become believers. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Again, we see salvation coming through faith in Christ. And especially when it comes to cults, Ephesians 2:8-9, you know, you have been saved through faith, not of your own doing. It is a gift. So with all this said, you know, and then Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by washing, the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit does the work and making us righteous before God. I'm not saying without sin. I'm saying positionally righteous here. But wow, what a difference than working and trying to please God and have God somehow give us a nod. That it's okay. And this is another thing about cults. There is no security for anybody in a cult that they're going to heaven because they never know how much is good enough. And religions based on works, that's the main issue. I mean, it's just like, not only is it not of God, but there's no peace of mind knowing that whatever they're doing in this life is acceptable to whomever. You know, it's very, very, very shaky.
Well, Nancy, in regard to the Trinity, then, where do the Jehovah's Witnesses stand on the Trinity? What do we need to know?
Yeah, and this goes back to the idea that they don't believe Jesus is God. But again, the triunity of God in the Christian doctrine believes they're one eternal being of God, indivisible and infinite. This one being of God is shared by three co-equal, co-eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Jehovah's Witnesses boldly, adamantly deny the triunity of God. And we look at it in Scripture. There are many, many, many scriptures that make it clear the three persons of God. Is Trinity used in the Scriptures? No, not in the English translations. It's not. But we see it all over Scripture. Here's one of them, Matthew 3:16-17. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending on the dove, coming to rest on him. So this beautiful thing is that we see the unity and the work of the Holy Spirit with the Father and with the Son. It's all over the Scriptures. But then again, the Jehovah's Witness, all cults would push this aside.
Well, Nancy, I can't help but notice a theme here as we are dismantling false beliefs. What about the Holy Spirit here? What's their position on the Holy Spirit? I mean, if we're looking at the Trinity and salvation, we've got to talk about the Spirit.
Yes, and because they deny the Trinity, the triunity of God, then they have to really reject God the Holy Spirit as a part of the Trinity and yield to the false belief that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is an inanimate power of God. It's like the force be with you kind of thing. And that's from where they're coming. And we see 2 Corinthians 13:14 here, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There it is, the triunity of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, and that's it.
Well, Nancy, we know as Christians, I mean, just from what we read in the Word, the truth of Christ's substitutionary atonement, that's got to be reckoned with. How do the Jehovah's Witnesses view this?
Yes. Well, they reject Christ's substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ dying as a substitute for all sinners. And we look at the Abrahamic covenant there again. In that very covenant, we see God telling Abraham that he would eventually someday be the substitutionary for all sinners for their sin. And he is that person, and that's why he died. But the scriptures teach clearly that all men are sinners, Romans 3:9 through 11, through 18 and 23. And we see in scriptures too, Romans 6:23, the penalty for sin is death, period. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's essential as we look at this and we see that the Jehovah's Witness do not believe that Jesus Christ died for all the sins of the world. They get that wrong as well. And we look at the markings of a cult and we see a bold check mark by each of these. And I think though, Kelly and Steve, the important thing that we just have to take away with it, two things. One, that Jehovah's Witnesses can be some of the nicest people you will ever meet. They are not bad, angry, hateful people. They're people like you and me who have been sorely misled. It's not that they don't want to know the truth. It's just that whatever the circumstances were at the time they were called into this cult, whether they were in a vulnerable position or whatever that is, they were lied to and they were drawn in. And God sends us out to speak to these people and essentially to be light to them. That's what we're supposed to do. And, you know, I think of what we're doing here with biblical worldview, the importance of knowing what you believe and being able to ask the right questions to our friends. The people in cults, because they have a ruler who sometimes is extraordinary disciplinary, they do not understand God as a relational God who loves them, who wants them to live with him so that they might experience true peace and true joy. And again, our call by God is to go into the world and disciple those people. And our question, I think, today needs to bounce back to our listeners today. Are you prepared to have questions, loving to answer questions and give a response in love and care for people that are misled? And again, when we have conversations with people, we're not attacking them. We're just simply engaging with them. So explain more about who you think Jesus is, or tell me about the God you worship. And how do you know it's true? You know, and where do you get your information? That's interesting. I'd like to know more about that. And then the ultimate question, then, what happens if you're wrong? I think Paul addressing Timothy says this in 2 Timothy 2:15, for all of us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And 2 Timothy 4:1 through 5, which is why Anchors Away exists and what we're trying to help people discern truth. When Paul says, I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For a time is coming when people will not endure the sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And that is the beautiful part. God never gives up on anyone, and we shouldn't either. And I think the more we educate ourselves as to what our biblical world is and how on earth do we live that out and how do we speak it out and how we answer questions can save life after life after life. It's amazing how open people are when they realize that what they've been lied to and they're not worshiping the truth, because most of them, not all of them, most of them are unhappy. They're anxious. They know something's wrong. And that's where we as the Christian church can come in and love them into a relationship with Christ.
Well, and this is what we are to do. We are to point others to the truth. And when we see those being misled, the onus is upon us to share that truth with them. Nancy, this has been a very good question for us to understand how we can interact with others, but also to put it into the context of what we are to do as image bearers of God, those who've been created for relationship with him, to point others to him. And this is an important factor, especially dealing with people who have fallen into these false beliefs. Thank you so much, Nancy. I want to encourage every single person to go to anchorsaway.org. You can check out all of the worldview information there. Find the archives of the Question of the Week. You can also find the Unanswered Smoke, Mirrors, and God Bible Study, as well as the Worldview Bootcamp information. Go get yourself on over there. Check things out. And study up, people. Study up. We will be called into account one day.
There you go. Nancy, thanks for this today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.